Ministry of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Part two. This isn't part one, this is part two. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. If you want to open up to 1 Corinthians 2, then we'll pray. Can you be changed today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Today.
Today.
Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day, but today is the day you have right now. Glory be to God forever. Right? Wherever you are today is because of probably some decisions you've made yesterday. Right?
Yes.
Or the day before. Words you've spoken yesterday or the day before. Actions you took yesterday or the day before. Well, today is a good day to change.
Yes.
That's right?
Yes. And even if you think you've been doing everything right, most of us know we haven't been doing everything right. How many of you have done everything right? I can't remember a single day I've done everything right. Right? So that means I can change when I find out what I've been doing wrong. And I can enter into something that's more right. I mean, there's levels of rightness, right? I mean, but we can be more right than we were yesterday. Is this right?
That's right.
And what do we get when we're more right? We get right. We get righter. We get better blessings from God. When we do something that's right, we get a better blessing from God. And part of that is admitting that, man, I haven't been doing it right. It's called repentance. And we get to repent. It's not that you have to, which I think we preached it wrong many times. We get to. So when light comes and I go, wait a minute, I can do this a little bit differently. And sometimes it's that little bit differently that makes all the difference.
Right.
Just clarifies everything. And you're like, why didn't I do it this way before?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah, God is good. Did you find it?
Yeah.
You're going to pray and believe God?
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name right now, we pray and we believe you for today's message. We believe you for today's service. We believe you for every single person in this room that they may hear from you and be changed today. Whatever the issue, whatever the problem, even if we think we know the problem, we're asking you to deliver us and change us by revelation and power in the Word. And Holy Ghost, we give you place today. You are God in the earth. We give you glory and praise. And I'm asking your help. I'm asking your anointing. I'm asking for your revelation, that I may speak what you want spoken and people may hear it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh. Glory be to God. Ha 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 ha. I'm going to have fun. Glory be to God, or should we just not have fun because it's raining outside? Should we just stop? I think not. Hallelujah. You there?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And my what?
Speech.
And my what?
Preaching.
My speech and my preaching. What is speech and preaching? Words, right? You're speaking and preaching. You're saying words. You're speaking words, and under the anointing, usually, when being he's talking here in the context of preaching, you hope that the preaching is under an anointing, meaning it's a preacher. He's doing it under an anointing. He's administering something. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. What was in demonstration of the Spirit? His words, his speech, and his preaching. And this is what, you know, a lot of people want it some other way. They want the demonstration of the Spirit and power to be, well, God himself showing up and sitting next to you and shaking you. And I like that, but that's not what he said here. He said there was a demonstration of the Spirit that happened in the speech and in the preaching. And how many of you have ever been changed by preaching, by words spoken to you? You hear the words and they change you. Something supernatural happens right there. He's putting his finger on it right now. When did it happen? During the speaking and the preaching. Right?
Yeah.
That's when there's a transaction that happens. Something changes on the inside of you by hearing words. How many of you have been changed by hearing words? Not necessarily by having a feeling. You know, I want the feeling. Everybody likes the feeling. But when you hear the words, something changes. And the change happens first on the inside of you, and then it comes to the outside of you. So where do those words, where do you have to hear the words? On the inside. All right. You guys are good. My speech and my preaching was not within enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your what? Where does faith come from? Isn't that amazing? He says that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, just what some guy thinks about something, but in the power of God. So where's the power of God? It's in the preaching of the words. It's in the spoken words. And if you can hear the words with your inner man, you'll be changed today. If you reject it, guess what you won't be? Changed today. You won't hear it and you won't receive it. All right, you guys ready for this? Hallelujah. Brother, this is fundamental. Yeah, but you know what? So many people miss it here. Okay, here's my statement. If anything is accomplished by God in the earth, you probably wrote this down last week. It is accomplished by who? The Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today, and through one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit. If anything is accomplished by God, who's God? In the earth. Jesus? The Father? No, the Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth. He's good to know the Holy Ghost. This is a good message. I hope you get excited about it. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll just be up here and laugh and drool on myself. Hallelujah. If anything is accomplished by God in the earth today, it is by the Holy Ghost, who is God in the earth today, and through one or more of these nine gifts. Are you here?
Yes.
All right, go to Luke 4:22. Yay, God. And I'm not going to try to run over all the stuff that I ran over last week, because that's the temptation to just to do that and explain everything you explained last week. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. This is Jesus. He had just spoken certain things. He'd opened up to the book of the prophet Isaiah and read something. And verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the what? Gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So here's Jesus. He came back in the anointing. He began to speak what?
Words.
He spoke and he preached words. And what did they say? What are these gracious words? I mean, somebody else could have read the words and it wouldn't have done anything. But when Jesus read the words under the anointing, what did they say? Wow, they wondered, what is this that I'm hearing? They heard the anointing. They heard what he said. It affected them. And then what did they do after that? Did they receive it? Did they get saved? No, they rejected him and they said, no, I don't want anything to do with that. What did they reject? They rejected the Holy Spirit and one of the operations of the Holy Spirit who was trying to bring revelation to them. All right. Glory be to God forever. Go down to verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, When they saw them?
No,
when they heard them, they were filled with faith and love. No, they were filled with wrath. Why were they filled with wrath? Because they either had to receive what was being said or reject what was being said. You can't go one way, or, you know, you have to go one way or the other.
Right, right.
All right. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. I'm trying to lay the foundation here. Jesus is Lord. You there, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Okay, we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He's going to minister to you. But the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. They're what discerned? They're spiritually discerned. He's going to speak words, and it's going to affect your spirit, man. It doesn't always make sense to your head. It makes sense to your inner man, and you have to go with that. It's like when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to go with that. Your natural man doesn't understand it. Your mind doesn't understand it, but your inner man does, and you have to go with that by faith and begin to speak out those things that the Spirit of God's giving you. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Did I read the whole thing? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for the foolishness done to him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Are you still here? Are you alive? All right. Why are you reading so many scriptures all at once? Because I need them to build my case. I need them to lay a foundation so that then you'll go, ah, I get it. I didn't get it before, but I get it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now concerning things of the Spirit, spiritual things, I would not have you ignorant. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul, and the Holy Ghost speaking through the Apostle Paul, telling people he doesn't want them ignorant of spiritual things. So does God want you ignorant?
No.
Yes, he must want me ignorant. I'm special. No, you're not special. He doesn't want you ignorant of spiritual things. Why do you think that is? Because the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and he's got all of these things he wants to do with you, but if you're ignorant of them, you're limiting him to a low, low, low level. All right. Uncategorized level, meaning things may happen to you and you don't know why. A gift of the Spirit may occur, and you either miss it or you didn't know what it was. You couldn't categorize it because you're ignorant of it. I don't know, you get into higher levels of certain things. I don't care what realm you're dealing. Let's say you're into cars. I'm not really into cars, but if you get into cars, all of a sudden you start to notice greater and greater details about something that other people don't notice. You go, ooh, did you see that pinstriping down the side? I'm like, what? You know, and then everything, every little detail, and the higher you go, the more the details matter.
Right, right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And you recognize it. If you're specializing in that, something you desire, whatever that, then you're recognizing the details, and you go, wow, that adds a lot of value to that. Mm. Just that one little item on the side of this vehicle, right? It adds a lot of value to it, and other people, it just blows over there. They don't get it. What do you mean? It's a car. You get from here to there.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't get from here to there with a pinstripe.
No.
I don't know if this is making sense to
yeah,
you or not. But it adds value. God adds value to you, and you're able to appreciate all the things of God where you couldn't before. Now, how does somebody get born again? You ask the Lord God to forgive you. You say, God, forgive me of my sins of my past, and you make Jesus Lord. You say, Jesus, I make you Lord. You paid the price for my sins. You're my Lord now. Thank you for saving me. I'm saved. Glory be to God. Now, when that happened, what happened? Who did it, though? Well, you did it, but who did the operation on you? Who took your sins and removed them, and who did all of that? Who even led you to that place? It was the Holy Ghost. He did an operation. He did a work on you. Almost an unfathomable miracle took place. You initiated it, but the Holy Ghost did a work. He did a ministry. He changed you. He took out the old you and put a brand new one in there. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural gift of the Spirit. And all of the gifts of the Spirit, this would be a good thing to write down too. All of the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. All the things that the Holy Ghost does is supernatural. It's not a natural thing. And natural people want to just do what? They want to make up stuff as to how this could have possibly happened, you know, evolution. Or circumstances. And are there circumstances? Sure, there's circumstances. So we need to be able to understand the supernatural, because all of the gifts of the Spirit, everything that the Holy Ghost does, is supernatural. And we should be growing up to where we're recognizing that and not just the circumstance. Because our circumstance, and we got the body of Christ, they're filled with them. They think that the natural circumstances is supernatural. Right. And that's just a natural circumstance. Right. So how does somebody get born again? They make Jesus Lord. They ask for forgiveness of their sins. Jesus comes in. The Holy Ghost comes in and does a work on the inside of them that is supernatural. That's the difference between somebody who just goes to church forever and never is changed to someone who has the Holy Ghost actually do something to them that's supernatural. And it's a working of miracles. And see, when you begin to be able to qualify all the things that the Holy Ghost does, they're actually, he is using a gift of the Spirit in everything. All right. How did you get the words to get the Holy, to get born again? How did you heard it, but how did you hear it? Somebody was preaching. How did the preaching come? It came through one of the gifts of the Spirit, because real preaching many times is what? Prophecy. Right. Speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Was there a gift of the Spirit involved in that?
Yes.
Was there a supernatural something that took place?
Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean that every time somebody's preaching, they're using one of the gifts of the Spirit. But at times, those words that went down into the person and quickened them, yes, it was a gift of the Holy Ghost. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Because everything he does is by one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. And I didn't say that. That's what the Word of God says.
Yes.
But we've been ignorant of it. Are you here?
Yes.
What have we been ignorant of? Of the spiritual things. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Are we seeing this?
Yes.
Who's God in the earth today?
The
Who's doing things? What's he using?
The gifts
of the Spirit. The gifts of what? Of him.
Yeah,
it's a gift. Salvation, when you get saved, when you say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and you get saved and you get born again, something happens to you. It was given a gift. You've been given a gift of a new life. It was a gift of who? The Holy Ghost. All right, we might even get this over today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever.
Yay.
I mean, how many of you sat and you've read down this list of the gifts of the Spirit and you go, well, we don't see that much, you know, we don't see that much anymore. We'd like to see more of that, and that's because we've had a qualification of it. We put it in a category that we can't see it, where, you know, it's not a miracle until somebody falls out and floats across the room, right? Everybody will go, oh, that's a miracle. But we've been missing that the Holy Ghost operates through every one of these gifts all the time. But we've been ignorant of it. Are we supposed to be ignorant of it?
No.
All right, this should be helping to clarify what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, glory be to God forever. Go down to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. To who?
Every man.
To just you?
No.
To just Alan?
No.
To just me?
No.
Just preachers?
No.
Are you here? Yeah. What about people that don't even know? Is this what it says?
Yeah.
The manifestation of the Spirit is given to
every man,
to profit. Right. Now, what is a sinner needs what? To be born again. So a manifestation of the Spirit, number one, is going to be preaching ministered to him through the gift of the Spirit called prophecy, not foretelling prophecy, which would be the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And I told you last week, a lot of this stuff, I wasn't just going to go down the line because we've all been. How many of you heard this? Messages on the gifts of the Spirit where you just put them in categories and you go down the line. But by doing that, we've missed the combining of the gifts where a lot of the power is at.
Yeah.
Many times prophecy, meaning speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and offer. How many of you have been used in this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, lay your hands on somebody and prophesy over them. You may be moved to do that, but generally what we're talking, the simple gift of prophecy, is all of a sudden you feel led to say something in a certain way, and the look on that person when you said it all of a sudden changes.
Right.
What happened?
Yeah.
You were moved by a gift of the Spirit. That gift was given to the person you were speaking to.
Yeah.
Something happened in them, and then they said, I need to get saved.
Yeah.
Then when they got saved, what happened? They received another gift, which was a working of miracles on the inside of them. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to try to convince me that the new birth is not a miracle.
Oh.
All right? It's a miracle. Somebody gets changed. Are you here? Is this making sense? Oh, glory be to God forever. So the manifest, maybe this isn't in your Bible. Maybe you should just rip this out. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to preachers. Well, preachers are men, right? So they're given to preachers too. To every man. Does this make sense? So the Holy Ghost, in a way, he is looking for the opportunity to manifest himself to every man. To profit them. God wants to profit you. Is this good news? I'm glad about this because it doesn't say that he's not going to minister to me. It says he's going to. He's looking for the opportunity. And the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. And if you let him in, he comes in. He'll move right in and never leave. Yay, God.
Amen.
To the sinner? Yes, every man. To the Christian? Yes, every man. To the Spirit-filled Christian?
Yes,
every man. To the preacher?
Yes,
every man. Now, this is kind of what I want to clarify today, is because of different levels, and I know that isn't the best word to use all the time, but because we're all on different levels, those levels hinder us from functioning and seeing the full potential of these gifts. And so they remain uncategorized. And we're like, oh, that was a miracle or a coincidence. I don't know. But to the sinner, he's not going to be operating in all the gifts of the Spirit. Because God's got to get him over into child of God status. And that's by repentance, getting forgiveness, and making Jesus Lord. But he just functioned in the gift of the working of miracles. We got a bunch of Baptist people out there functioning in the gift of the working of miracles. They don't even know it. You get up and tell them, hey, that was a miracle. That was a gift of them. And they're all right with the uncategorized. See, now you're going to be able to see this better. It's uncategorized because they can't. The non-spiritual man can't see and recognize what's going on.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Hey, this is pretty good. Glory be to God. I'm glad I came. Jesus is Lord. But the manifestation, yay, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. And the withal, that's kind of, like I said, I went over this last week. It doesn't just mean, because we put that profit withal, and we mean it says, well, that's the gifts of the Spirit, they only manifest among us or in ministry. No, it's number one to profit, given to every man. To profit who? That man. And I can show you verse after verse in the Bible where the gift came to profit the person that the gift was coming to. Now, on the other side, in ministry, say in ministry, then it goes outwards because that person is standing in an office, and we'll get there a little bit later, where he gets in that office, and then he's ministering by that. And that doesn't mean that people that aren't in full-time ministry or the five-fold ministry can't be used that way. But if you look at, I think there's 40 some times in the Bible, in the book of Acts, where there were gifts of the Spirit listed, and 39 times they were all by someone who was in the ministry full time, written in the book of Acts. But that doesn't discount that the things that go on, that there are gifts of the Spirit where you can be ministering to somebody. I'm ahead of myself, but hang on here. Are you here?
Yeah.
Lord be to God forever. Grace and yieldedness. Say grace and yieldedness. How do these things happen? How do the gifts of the Spirit happen?
By grace.
They're by grace. What's another word for grace?
Favor,
or it's a gift.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody gave you a grace. They gave you a gift. So that's a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. He gave it to you. Jesus is a gift. He's been given already to everyone. You just need to open up the package.
Yeah.
Which gives you an everlasting life. The grace was given. Now, what does it take? Yieldedness. Say yieldedness. It takes yieldedness to that grace to have a manifestation. So even though Jesus came and he bled and died for you, if you don't yield to him, you will not be a partaker of that grace. Now, God may do certain things, but it will remain uncategorized to you. Are you here? This is going to help you more than you think it is. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by what? The same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Whew. Grace and yieldedness.
Yeah.
Now, when someone's already born again, and they have not yet received the Holy Ghost, what does it take? Grace and yieldedness. The Holy Ghost is giving himself now. Because what we have a lot of people who have been born again. They've entered into grace. They've yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. They became a new creation. But they've not yielded to the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, they are limiting themselves to a lower level of the gifts of the Spirit. But as soon as they begin to yield to the Holy Ghost, they have one of these diversities of tongues. And the reason he says diversities of tongues is because it's not just one kind of tongue. There's all kinds, the realm of tongues, it just keeps going. As far as language can go, that's how much tongues can go. But the grace has been given. Now you need to yield. And as soon as you do, you've opened up a door to the supernatural for the Holy Ghost to use all of the gifts of the Spirit severally as He wills to you and then through you. I think we miss it on that part because people always want to say, oh, the gifts of the Spirit are to be used through me to other people. That's secondary as He's going to use those gifts for you, yeah. To you. He's going to give them to you. Mm-hmm. What does it take? Grace and yieldedness. And we know this. Those of us who have received the Holy Ghost, we have been born again. We have received the Holy Ghost. What did it take? Did it take lightning bolts? It took grace and then yieldedness. Well, the grace was already given. God already gave the Holy Ghost to everyone. Right? Now you just had to yield. And as soon as you began to yield, you began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave you utterance. I don't know. Maybe you should just throw something at me. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who?
Every man.
Every man to profit with all. But we have different levels of yieldedness and grace. And otherwise, can you see what I'm saying about being uncategorized by people? They might get saved, but then the gifts of the Spirit, they can't yield to them because they've not gone through that door of receiving the Holy Ghost, where all the gifts of the Spirit come from. Glory be to God forever. So what should that say to you? I'm going through that door. I'm going through that door. I'm going to pray in tongues more and more and more and more. All right. Go with me down to 1 Corinthians 12. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but it seems like you're talking about everything, but no, I'm talking about what He does. We have to prepare ourselves for His ministry.
Yeah.
If we're not prepared, He can't do it. His hands are tied. All right. Glory be to God forever. 1 Corinthians 12. Is that what I said?
Yes,
28. God has set some in the church. Who did this?
God did.
Men?
No.
Men like to do this.
Yeah.
But, right? But who did this?
God did.
God set some in the church. Say this. God set some in the church. Shoo. So if you're rejecting the ones that God set, who are you rejecting?
God.
All right. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles. And then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, and what?
Diversities of tongues.
Here he's talking about offices that God set in the church. And then in one of those offices, he said diversities of tongues. What is the first part of the ministry? Because I'm trying to bring you along a progression here. I might not be doing it very well. But when somebody gets saved, they're functioning on very low level of the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
But when they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, they've opened up all the gifts of the Spirit. You can just do this. You go to some churches that reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. How many gifts of the Spirit are functioning in that church? That they would recognize and acknowledge? None. And yet the ones who receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, how many would they say they at least want?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them. They're acknowledging the Holy Ghost and His gifts come along. Are you here?
Yeah.
So here we have listed among all of these gifts, the apostle, the prophet, right?
Yeah.
First the apostle, prophet, goes down the list and he gets to diversities of tongues. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you begin to speak with other tongues, part of that is a work of the ministry. You've begun to enter into ministry. Does that put you in a fivefold office, one of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? No, but that is the beginning of your ministry. You've seen this.
Yes.
Am I like batting things over the head here this morning? It's the beginning of ministry. Say this. When I speak in tongues, I'm speaking the beginnings of ministry. And you're also helping in the ministry. It's listed as a ministry gift. Now, I understand there are the diversities of that where somebody can give a message in tongues and somebody can give an interpretation thereof, but that doesn't always happen. But when you begin speaking in tongues, you're literally in a ministry of tongues. All right. Whew. Tongues is everyone's ministry. Yeah. You don't think so?
Yeah.
Tongues is everyone's ministry. When you receive, now what's it take? It takes grace. The grace has already been given. Now it takes yieldedness. And how often can you yield to the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues? All the time. It's up to you. It's your mouth. You can pray in tongues all the way home while you're cooking lunch or whatever. You can pray while you're walking the streets. You can pray in tongues all the time, and you're actually doing a work of the ministry. Why? Because it's the Holy Ghost. It's an office he gave every Spirit-baptized person. Then there are offices God puts people in. Remember Paul, he was not in the office that he was finally called to until Book of Acts, chapter 13. He said, separate me. Say separate.
Separate
me, Paul and Barnabas, unto the work whereunto I have called them. So they were called, and there's a lot of people that are called, but they've not been separated yet. And when they're separated, they enter into that. But when somebody's born again and they receive the Holy Ghost, they begin to speak with other tongues, they're literally at that point separated into a ministry of speaking in tongues. And some people will hear this and go, my goodness, yay, God, and run around the room.
Yeah.
Others will hear it and go, what? I thought he said something. I want to get out of here. Glory be to God forever. I'm not just saying this stuff just because I wanted to say it. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're separated under the ministry. You are necessarily in an office of apostle. Even the apostle Paul wasn't in that office until he was separated unto it. So there's obviously greater offices that you can stand in that God has set in the church, one of which is the pastor, and people that are pastors and they're actually set in the office of a pastor are doing a function of the work of the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't like it. They don't want any of that. We're all just on our own. Jesus is our head and that's it. Well, then what did he do here? Why did he set them there? For the work of the ministry. All right. I'm not puffing up myself. I'm puffing up what God has done. And so when you receive the Holy Ghost and you yield, say, and I yield, you are actually functioning in an office. But it also opens up the door for you to have understanding about all the gifts of the Spirit. You can have all of them, say all of them, all of them working for me and through me all the time. And it, frankly, it'll be according to your yieldedness. All right, Jesus is Lord. This is going over big. Shoo. Go to Ephesians 4, 7. But unto everyone, to everyone, unto everyone is of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, you know. And so the problem is sometimes we look at somebody and we say, I want to be in that office. I want to be an apostle. I want to be a prophet. I want to be the pastor. I want to be the special one. Who sets them, though?
God
does. You don't choose what you want to be in, do you? Can you? If you do, do you get weird? God's, and do we have people that are in an office, they wanted to set themselves there, and that's why they get weird and goofy?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to set themselves there. It didn't say you set themselves. God sets the office. Actually, a way I like to look at it better is God has set these offices in the body of Christ, and then he moves people into them.
Yeah. Right.
When they're ready.
They're ready.
When they yield enough. Okay, so we got three categories here, and I didn't make it up. I'm just letting you know what they are. So you've got someone who gets born again, they're a child of God, and the gifts of the Spirit remain what? Uncategorized. God may do something, God may not. How many of you heard this before? Well, the Lord, if the Lord chooses to, he can. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. Sometimes he just doesn't say anything. So all of these things that God wants to do for you remain out there in an uncategorized area of the sovereignty of God. Then when you enter the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost enters you, and you begin to speak with other tongues, you literally are entering into a ministry of speaking the words of God by the inspiration of God. Can you see this? And that opens up all of these other gifts unto you. You begin to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. And usually one of the first things that will happen is you'll get an interpretation of a tongue that you've been speaking out. Personally. Did you see that? Ephesians 4, 7. Grace.
Grace.
Hallelujah. Unto who? Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, someone who's in the ministry, someone who's called to be a prophet in the body of Christ, or someone who's called to be an apostle in the body of Christ, what kind of measure of grace is going to be granted unto them? It should be a larger measure of grace granted unto them, especially when they stand in that office. Does this make sense? There should be a greater manifestation of all the gifts of the Spirit. What about a pastor, a lowly pastor? If he's standing in that office, there's going to be a larger measure of grace given unto them to do their job with the gifts of the Spirit. And that amplifies the ministry of who? The Holy Ghost, which is who we're talking about. Someone who's an evangelist to get people saved, he's going to have an amplification of those gifts of the Spirit, especially under prophecy, which is speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort, as well as the gifts of the Spirit to get people healed. Why? So that he can get people saved, born again, forgiven of their sins. Does this make sense? But it's the same Holy Ghost. It's just a different administration. It's just a different operation. It's just on a different level.
Right.
So did I say only evangelists could operate in the gifts of healings?
No.
I just said that when God separates them and sets them in that office, there's an amplification of those graces and gifts and faith that goes along with it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm almost done here. I want to talk a little bit about the gift of the working miracles, though. Because that's always been one that seemed a little bit, well, maybe Elijah could walk in the gift of the working of miracles. Maybe, you know, some other big name could walk in the gift of the working of miracles, but not little old lowly me. And I'd say, number one, you're extremely wrong, because everybody who gets born again has been introduced to the Holy Ghost. He's done something in them, and he began a work in them that was a miracle.
Right.
It was the gift of the working of miracles. They heard words, they yielded, and all of a sudden, here's a miracle took place.
Yeah.
Now, even the Christian who hasn't been filled with the Holy Ghost, which I don't recommend, because then it amplifies and clarifies all the gifts of the Spirit unto you. It opens up all of those things. But even one who hasn't can take the Word of God, do the Word of God, put the Word of God in their mouth, even for healing, right?
Yeah.
And they can have a gift of the working of miracles take place simply by grace and faith. Does that discount that the Holy Ghost did a working of miracles?
No,
but that gift remained uncategorized.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. If you do this and he does that, what would you categorize that as?
Yeah.
Would that be a miracle?
Yeah.
You look at your situation sometimes and go, that would be a miracle. But that's the uncategorized area of what we've been talking about today. That's a miracle. You didn't see what you did and then the action of the Holy Ghost because of what you did. When Elijah crossed the River Jordan there, did he do something? This is to categorize a working of miracles. Did he do something? What did he do? He struck the water with his mantle, his cloak. He took it off, and he smote the waters. What did the waters do? They parted, and he walked over on dry ground. That was a miracle. Now, generally, we'll look into this more as we go on, but a working of miracles, you have a word of God first to go and do it.
Yeah.
Is this not right?
Yeah.
I mean, most of us aren't going to go, well, we'd probably take the bridge. Or take a boat, right? Unless we had a word of God that said, and a quickening that said, go do this, smite the waters, and cross over on dry ground. Right?
Yeah. Right?
Right. So Elijah first had a word that came to him, and then he did the word, and he worked the miracles. That's one of the main classifications of working of miracles is you do something that works the miracles. You do something that engages the Holy Ghost in his power, and a miracle takes place. Look at this again. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. So what do you, is he telling you to do something?
Yeah.
And then if you do it, is he telling you something's going to happen?
Yeah.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive it. What would that be called?
That's the working of miracles.
That would be called a miracle.
Hallelujah.
I don't like it this way. Pay attention. We get, what do we get? We have a grace been given to us. Now when we yield to that, what are we going to have? A working of miracles. Are you here? I'm trying. My goodness. And we're not the ones that just kind of throw it out in the quasi world. Wherever that is. When we do it, we are operating a gift of the Spirit by faith. How many of you know all the gifts of the Spirit work this way? I want every single one of us to be speaking in tongues every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Because I want the gifts of the Spirit to be opened up unto you because they're number one for your benefit. And then as he will move upon you and you'll be able to minister to other people as he wills through you. But you're not even going to sense that until you know him and get sensitive to him.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? By praying in tongues, by praying in tongues, by yielding, say yielding.
Yielding
day after day. And if he does call you and put you into a ministry gift, then that grace is going to come on you that will be more amplified, and all these gifts of the Spirit will begin to function through you. But here, we've got just to regular people. I'm a regular person.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Or are you the irregular variety?
Yeah.
I think sometimes we miss it in thinking we're special. Because if we think we're special, then this doesn't apply to me. And that doesn't apply to me because I'm special. No, all the word, and this is the problem. This is a big problem with ministers, frankly. Well, I'm in the ministry. I'm special. This doesn't apply to me. It applies to you. And so all my messages are to you. No, this message applies first and foremost to me, and I hope you get it. I get excited about these messages because I know, hey, I want some of this. And if none of you get it, I'm gonna get it. Because I want the gifts of the Spirit for me. It's a selfish thing, but you get, that's how you get saved. You say, I want it for me. I'm getting saved. I want the Holy Ghost for me. I'm getting the Holy Ghost. For me. I'm selfish. So just have a selfish line. Everybody gets selfish with God. This is the way you get stuff. Have you ever heard of hunger? To satisfy a hunger, it's a selfish thing. So here I'm trying to get you to be selfish about the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, he's waiting to do things for you.
Yeah.
The manifestation is given to every man. And he can radically change your life. And he's going to do it, though. How's he going to do it? And this is where I began. How's the Holy Ghost going to do it? He's going to do it through one or more of these nine gifts of the Spirit. So if we can see, are we beginning to see this a little more? Or am I just spinning my wheels up here? I don't care if it's getting saved. I don't care if it's getting people in your faith. An answer to prayer, if it was done by God, it was supernatural, and it was accomplished through one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And this is where your ministry of praying in tongues comes in so wonderfully and great for your relatives. Because half the time, you know, like what, you want to beat them over the head with a baseball bat. But that doesn't work so well. Yeah, it shuts them up for a while. Maybe. But the ministry to them is a spiritual thing. It's supernatural.
Supernatural.
We don't want just a natural rectification of a problem. We want the supernatural involved in my family. I want the supernatural involved. And the number one thing of ministry there is what? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit for my family. Speaking in the Spirit. Lots of times I think we get squirrely when we use the word prayer. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Squirrely when you use the word prayer? Yeah. Because you're on earth. You are speaking. Think about it. You're speaking the words that God gave you.
Hallelujah.
You really praying to him?
Nope,
not necessarily. A lot of times you're speaking things into the earth over a situation that God gave you. You're speaking God's words into your situation. And what is the result of that going to be? It's going to be one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit happening. Think about it. Because we could pick out some gifts that would be really good to happen to our relatives. But if they need to get saved, the working of miracles is going to happen. Now what's the other thing that I mentioned first? There's another gift of the Spirit that's going to happen to them first. They're going to hear. They're going to hear words that edify them, exhort them, right? Prophecy. Not the weird kind of prophecy. I mean, speak words spoken by the Spirit to them. They're going to hear it. Do you want this to happen to them? Then enter into your ministry. Enter into your ministry. I'm in the ministry. Shambra fando kolo habrete. Hallelujah. What is that going to do? You are opening up the gifts of the Spirit to happen to you and your family in your life. And the Holy Ghost, I'm excited about this.
Yay.
And the Holy Ghost is going to do things through one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit to your family.
Yeah.
to your sister,
yes.
to your brothers.
Yes.
You've been trying to save them, and it doesn't work very well, has it?
No.
You can't. How does somebody get saved? The Holy Ghost does a work. The Holy Ghost does a working of miracles. Is this making any sense?
Yes, sir.
If anything is accomplished by God in the earth, it is accomplished by the Holy Ghost and through one or more of these nine gifts of the Spirit. One or more.
One or more.
Hallelujah.